I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. Today we're talking about the wheat and the weeds. You know, Jesus used everyday analogies to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven and what it was like. Thing is, a lot of the everyday analogies that were everyday for his audience aren't so everyday for us, and today's message is a good example of that. And so we have to do our homework, and we have to do a little study to see what all it means. But among other things, he compared the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed, to a pearl, to yeast, and to a fishing net. And with each of these disarmingly common comparisons, Jesus was radically redefining what it meant to be a participant in the kingdom of God. Now, you have to remember that his fellow Jews at that time firmly believed that the Messiah was coming to establish a physical kingdom, and that he would annihilate or enslave every non-Jew, and that the Jews would reign over the world. But here comes Jesus, and what he's trying to teach them, which is a far cry from that, is that his kingdom is going to exist in a spiritual realm in the heart of anyone. Anyone who receives him as Savior and makes him their Lord. But because of this strong, long-held belief, Jesus' parable of the wheat and the weeds was perplexing to the Jews. Even his own disciples didn't get it. In their world, you have to remember, it was black and white. To them, the Jews were the wheat and the non-Jews were the weeds. And Jesus is messing with that here. In fact, you know, the disciples were still confused about this even after his death and resurrection. They come to him in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, and it says they kept asking him, Lord, this is now he's come back to life. They're so excited. Lord, oh, it's not up there. Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And so they find out, especially once the Holy Spirit descends on the Gentiles, they begin to see God's plan. So when Jesus takes a break this day from teaching this parable, he teaches a couple more things, talks about some stuff, and then he takes a break. They follow after him because they want to question him about this perplexing parable of the wheat and the weeds. This parable that seems to deal with God's reluctance to remove evil from this world. And so it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. You know, they're truly confused. What does it mean? And what follows now is Jesus' point-by-point explanation. And so we get to sit in the seat of the disciples this morning and listen to Jesus' explanation of this parable. And so he began the parable by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So the first thing he explains is who the sower is. He answered them, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. This is Jesus' favorite title for himself, Son of Man. Favorite title in the New Testament that Jesus, when speaking about himself. Do you have any idea what it means, where it comes from? Why does he call himself the Son of Man? I thought he's the Son of God. What's this title mean? Well, you have to go back into the Old Testament, into a vision that the prophet Daniel had, where he saw the Messiah coming in the clouds, and there was something really peculiar about when God was visiting earth as the Messiah. He looked like a human. And so Daniel points this out in his vision, chapter 7, verse 13 of Daniel's, where it begins. He says, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. There's the title. And now what Daniel means by that is he had the characteristics of a human. He was like a son of man. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. And now look at this. Look what it says. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. That's Jew and Gentile. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That sums up who the Son of Man is. And Jesus loved to call himself the Son of Man, I think, to remind them of this vision, but also remind that it is God come in the flesh, come to look like one of us. And so Jesus says he is the one who sows the good seed. And then he continues his explanation. He says, the field is the world. I'm on the bottom one here. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. And so he's called himself the Son of Man. Now he's talking about the sons of the kingdom. As the Son of Man, Jesus took on the characteristics of mankind. So it only stands to reason that when he refers to the good seed as the sons of the kingdom, it's because these are those who take on the characteristics of his realm, of his reign, of his kingdom. So each wheat stalk in this parable represents one person who has submitted to the rule and reign of Jesus as Messiah. And then in the parable itself, it says, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Jesus does not give a hidden meaning to the word sleeping, like it's supposed to mean something spiritual. So I think we're safe to, I don't want to read into it. I think we're safe to assume it means that to a large degree, you and I are unable to perceive the schemes of the enemy and his bad seed planting. He does it while we're unaware. But Jesus does explain that the weeds are the sons of the evil one. So here we have the sons of terminology again. So the sons of the evil one would be those who reflect the characteristics of the evil one. So each weed then represents one person who refuses to submit to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Now you hear people say, we're all God's children. Speaking of everyone in the world, we're all God's children. And that is very true in one sense and very untrue in another sense. We are all God's children in the sense of creation, but we're not all God's children by way of redemption. Because that takes a relationship. It's a two-way relationship. However, this parable makes it abundantly clear that you and I as believers should not try to judge the wheat from the weeds until the harvest. Because we just can't know all the ways that his Spirit is working in the hearts and minds of individuals. We can't know what the future holds. And so this side of heaven, it's impossible to separate authentic wheat from genuine weeds. We can't do it. It's tempting, but we shouldn't. What we should do the praying and let God do the sorting. Now, Jesus' audience, his listeners, were well aware of the specific weed that he was referring to in this parable. It's a weed called darnel that they had big problems with. This is what darnel looks like. It's known as false wheat or perverted wheat. It grows among wheat. It looks just like wheat, except it's poisonous, quite poisonous. And in Jesus' day, darnel was sown as a tactic in warfare in the enemy's fields. It's also a very dirty trick for revenge. And it was forbidden by Roman law. So you could be tried if you went and sowed darnel in a wheat field. It was dangerous stuff. And now this is where it gets pretty exciting. We know that Jesus is talking about darnel because of this next passage when Jesus says, when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Well, if you don't know anything about darnel, you read that and you think, And in Jesus' day, his people, they're watching that wheat grow all the time and they're watching out for darnel. But us, not so much. We got to educate ourselves. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. It almost makes it sound to the uneducated like the wheat grew up and then all of a sudden these weeds grew really fast after the wheat sprouted. But that's not the case. It's not the case. What it means there is once the wheat sprouted, once it formed heads, it was distinguishable from the darnel, from the false wheat, from the perverted wheat. Do you know how they could spot the darnel from the wheat once it developed, once it matured? Because the heads of wheat are heavier than the heads of darnel, so wheat droops, darnel doesn't. In other words, false wheat won't bow its head. It's the same for the sons of the evil one. They will die without bowing in surrender or submission to the rule and reign of the Son of Man. I mean, this is just incredible. Jesus is an absolute master at weaving these everyday items into kingdom analogies. And it seems like the deeper you dig, well, it doesn't seem, it is. The deeper you dig into his correlations, the more you draw out, the more understanding you gain. I mean, just with this here, that there's two indistinguishable plants that grow among one another. One is deadly and one gives life, and the one that offers life bows its head, and the one that's deadly stiffens its back. It's such a perfect analogy. And I'm thinking maybe a little too perfect. It got me thinking. Now, Jesus created the universe. Tells us he is there in the beginning. He knew the message that he would ultimately have to convey with us. Follow me on this. I'm thinking, turns out he's God. And when he designed this planet, I think he built into the system these hidden analogies that of course we just think of as natural occurrences, but these things that were just waiting to be used as intricate kingdom parallels when he came to speak. I think he was in heaven and he was thinking, okay, I'm going to need four kinds of soil for that analogy. I'm going to need a huge plant, a giant plant that comes from the tiniest seed. I'm going to need some substances that have the properties of what I will call salt and yeast and rust. In other words, what I'm saying is, I don't think Jesus composed his parables around everyday life. I think Jesus composed everyday life around his parables. And it speaks to his sovereignty and his love and his grace that even as he was creating this world, he knew he was coming for you. And he wanted to speak to you in a way that you could comprehend and understand. It goes on to say, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? It's a good, legitimate question. An enemy did this, he replied. This world is not as it should be. It wasn't intended to be corrupt and broken. It's an enemy who has done this. And so he tells the answer, explains that in Matthew 13:39. He says, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. A cunning, sneaky enemy who specializes in making bad appear good and wrong appear right and poisonous appear pleasant, harmful appear healthy. He's out to do two things. He's out to rob God of his glory and you of your purpose. And really, our purpose is to bring God glory. So, very real way. It's one goal. In the parable, the servants asked the farmer, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. So leave them alone. Don't be shy. Raise your hands to this question. How many of you would say that at some point in your life, you were more like the weeds than the wheat? Okay, next question. Aren't you glad he waited? And shouldn't we offer that same courtesy to all the people around us who look and act so much like weeds that you just want to grab them and yank them? We need to have the heart of our farmer father, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you. Not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We live in a fallen, broken, sin-swirled world. But it hasn't gone to the devil, as some think. Both the wheat and the weeds are alive and well at God's command. But the appointed day will come. Season of mercy and grace, we're told, will be followed by a season of judgment and justice. Jesus goes on to explain, starting at verse 39, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And I realized when I read this that the Lord and I really have something in common. We both hate to weed. It says he waits until the last possible moment. So do I. Says he sends out his angels to do the weeding. That's what I do. I just have the one angel, Char. But I send her out to do the weeding. And I really do. He's filled with compassion, not wanting any to perish. And I'm lazy. But other than that, we are so alike. And then he says in Matthew 13, 42, they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeping speaks to the emotion, the gnashing to the physical. It's signifying both emotional as well as physical anguish for those who choose to imitate the character of the evil one. So how do you know for sure that you're included in the wheat, that you're one of the sons of the kingdom, whether you're male or female? It's just an expression. One question to answer. Do you surrender and submit to Jesus as Lord? As you know, it's a process of practice and repentance. But moreover, it's an attitude that recognizes that we are helpless to save ourselves. We are beggars at the foot of the cross. We are wholly dependent upon Christ. That's what separates the true believer from the make-believer. I am longing for the day when my life and this world will all be part of God's weed-free kingdom. As Jesus finishes his explanation, here's the last thing he has to say, Matthew 13, 43. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. There's one more big difference between wheat and darnel, and it happens after it dies. Wheat turns golden, darnel turns black. If we reflect his character here, we will absolutely radiate it there. Let's read the parable once again. This time I want you to put yourselves in the shoes of the one who sowed the good seed. Jesus told them another parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy has done this, he replied. The servants asked him, you want us to go and pull him up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Let's pray. Father God, we bow our heads in surrender and submission to your perfect grace and mercy and justice and judgment. Holy Spirit, fill us with compassion and patience for those who appear to be weeds around us. And Lord Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for thinking of us and loving on us even as you created this world for us knowing full well that you would one day come and die for our sins. And it is in your name that we all say, Amen. Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.